You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, I Lift My Voice. Topic, how do we raise our voice in times of elections? I lift my voice. I lift my voice to worship you. As usual on Sunday, I tell myself not to make it too long, especially when people are eager to enjoy the extra hour they received at the end of daylight saving time. But on the other hand, how much better can you spend the time that you have than talking about God's will for our lives in the fellowship of believers? We talk a lot in our daily lives, do we not? We talk to our spouses and friends, to our children, colleagues, customers, students, and peers. Oh yeah, we even call in on the radio, so we get heard. The question is, what do we hear, and what is it that we want to be heard? Psalm chapter 142, verses 1 through 7, Common English Bible. For the music leader, a maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry out loud for help from the Lord. I beg out loud for mercy from the Lord. I pour out my concerns before God. I announce my distress to Him. When my spirit is weak inside me, you still know my way, but they have hidden a trap for me in the path I am taking. Look right beside me. See, no one pays attention to me. There is no escape for me. No one cares about my life. I cry to you, Lord, for help. You are my refuge, I say. You are all I have in the land of the living. Pay close attention to my shouting, because I have been brought down so low. Deliver me from my oppressors, because they are stronger than I am. Get me out of this prison so I can give thanks to your name. Then the righteous will gather all around me because of your good deeds to me. I needed to think of this little song we sang, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Is that not a beautiful little ditty we sing in church? I really love this chorus. I love you, Lord. Yes, of course I do. I lift my voice. Oh yeah, how I lift my voice. But is it always to worship you? I can say to you that I truly do my best, that in all I do, I praise the Lord, and in that, I worship Him. Easy? No, really it is not. Failure galore. But we keep on pushing and doing our best. When we succeed in worshiping the Lord, our soul, our heart, our spirit rejoices, it is happy, because then our spirit is in harmony with the Holy Spirit who is within us. Then the chorus ends with a prayer. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 1, 6, 13 through 15, 18 through 22, 26, and 28. Common English Bible. Those who love discipline, love knowledge, and those who hate correction are stupid. The words of the wicked are a death trap, but the speech of those who do right rescues them. The wicked are trapped by the transgressions of their lips, but the righteous escape from distress. From the fruit of their speech, people are well satisfied. Their work results in reward. Fools see their own way as right, but the wise listen to advice. Some chatter on like a stabbing sword, but a wise tongue heals. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who plan evil, but there is joy for those who advise peace. No harm happens to the righteous, but the wicked receive their fill of trouble. The Lord detests false lips. He favors those who do what is true. The righteous offer guidance to their neighbors, but the path of the wicked makes them wander. But hard workers receive precious riches. The way of the righteous leads to life, but the detestable path leads to death. We see so many things around us, hearing so many ungodly things, seeing so many ungodly things. It is truly hard. It does not mean that we need to condone everything we see happening around us. Many times, it means taking a firm stand against things. When people are cussing around you, do you ask them not to do that? When somebody is breaking the law, are you turning them in? As long as that law is not against the law of God, I certainly will. Our behavior, our driving, our speech, our choices, is our expression of worship to God, where we coin the phrase, "In all you do, praise the Lord." I know I use this a lot, because the Lord convicted me on this so harshly. 5 miles over the speed limit is speeding. It is breaking the law, and with that, it is sin. But what about the order of things? God, spouse, children, work. What about the elections? What do I personally remember from all the things that have gone on in our country? To be honest, at first look, not that much, but when thinking about it, more than it seems. Okay, what is it then that we lift our voice about? When we lift our voice, we let others know what is in our heart. Every Sabbath celebration, we read from Psalm 139, and how to the point this is for today's topic. We will not read it completely, but I would like to read the opening and closing verses for you. Psalm chapter 139, verses 1 through 4, and verses 23 and 24. New International Version, 1984. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When God knows us so well, and we acknowledge that we know Him, how do we react to the following questions? Voluntary prayer needs to be possible in schools. Should children from kindergarten through 12th grade get sex education at school? If a 13-year-old gets an abortion, should we keep this from the parents and/or guardians? Do we need to help low-income parents making school choices by giving them vouchers to pay for school, whether that be public or private school? Should our money be used to pay for abortions? Should we provide funds for organizations like Planned Parenthood? Should we as a church be told that we must provide birth control and abortion as a part of our insurance package? Should we solely rely on government forces to provide protection for our goods and family? Do we need to keep the Constitution as it was written, or does it need to be adjusted to the turn of times? Is it the government or the Holy Bible that determines what constitutes a marriage, or more specifically, a holy matrimony? Should we tell our chaplains in the military to perform weddings between same-sex couples? Should the government raise the tax rate to help more companies and people? Or should the government limit the help but stimulate job training and on-the-job training? Last question, which might sound a little bit silly, what is the capital of Israel? Wow, those are a lot of questions you have to answer for yourself. I am not going into any of these. That is not my job. When I go back to Psalm 139, many answers are given for me concerning the sanctity of life. Knowing how God has created me I cannot be anything else than in awe of His love for me. Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 through 16. New International Version, 1984. For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You. O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. New International Version, 1984. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, He took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib He had taken out of the man, and He brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. We have a choice as children of the Lord, to follow His will and His guidelines in our lives or not. This is how simple it is. Say it with me. In all you do, praise the Lord. It is important to be informed on what is going on in the world and in the world around us. Some people say that the Bible is silent on this, but they could not be more mistaken. God makes it clear that when we make a choice, we need to be in submission to this and stand with our decision, or, with other words, take responsibility for our actions. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 14. New International Version, 1984. Submission to the authorities. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Love, for the day is near. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. New International Version, 1984. But how can I bear your problems and your burdens and your disputes all by myself? Choose some wise, understanding, and respected men from each of your tribes, and I will set them over you. You answered me, "What you propose to do is good. I have presented you with many questions today. I am sure you know the answer to each and every one of them. No, we do not share the answers with each other, but we do share them with God, who knows our heart." In closing, I would like to end with a quote from Bishop Tutu. "Dear child of God, I write these words because we all experience sadness. We all come at times to despair, and we all lose hope that the suffering in our lives and in the world will ever end. I want to share with you my faith and my understanding that this suffering can be transformed and redeemed. There is no such thing as a totally hopeless case. Our God is an expert at dealing with chaos, with brokenness, with all the worst that we can imagine. God created order out of disorder, cosmos out of chaos, and God can do so always, can do so now, in our personal lives and in our lives as nations globally. Indeed, God is transforming the world now, through us, because God loves us." Desmond Tutu. Indeed, Bishop Tutu, God is transforming our world, our country, and the world at large through us. When we step into a voting booth, no one else sees the mark that we place, but the God of Israel already knows the posture of our heart. The same Lord who knit us together in the womb and who ordained our days calls us to align every choice with His character. Our ballot is not just a civic action. It flows from the same heart that sings, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice." If our vote flows from worship, then even that quiet act becomes a sweet, sweet sound in His ear. Scripture reminds us that choices have covenant weight. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, King James Version. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As messianic believers in Yeshua, we answer together, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That service reaches into the way we speak, the way we drive, the way we treat our families, and yes, the way we stand in line and mark a ballot. Our King is not on a 4-year cycle. He reigns from eternity to eternity. At the same time, we are not left to navigate this alone. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, has been given as our helper and counselor. Before we raise our voice on social media, before we argue at the dinner table, before we cast a vote, we can pause and pray. "Search me, O God, know my heart, lead me in the way everlasting." As we yield to Him, He brings our thoughts, our emotions, and our choices into alignment with the Word made flesh, Yeshua, the Messiah. In that place of surrender, fear of the future gives way to fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. We are also called to stand in the gap for our leaders and our nation. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, King James Version. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Before we complain, let us intercede. Before we curse, let us bless. Before we despair, let us remember that our God is an expert at dealing with chaos and brokenness. In every election season, He still calls us to be salt and light, to speak truth in love, and to walk in holiness that reflects His kingdom, not the spirit of the age. If today you realize that your voice has not always been a sweet sound to His ear, that your words, your choices, or even your vote have flowed more from fear or anger than from faith, there is grace at the cross. Yeshua died for every careless word and every crooked path. You can come to Him, confess, and receive cleansing. Let Him reclaim your heart as His sanctuary, so that when you lift your voice in worship, in conversation, or in the voting booth, it rises as a testimony that Messiah lives in me. Then, in all you do, you truly praise the Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.